Hockey Talk, Serious Hockey Talk for Serious Hockey Fans. I am Michael Lindenbaum, being joined by my co-host, Ethan Bloom.
Sup?
And we got seven games of coverage to go through, three for the Rangers, four for the Caps. We will talk about Mike Bossy a little bit later, and we're just going to shoot the breeze after that. I just want to hop on and mention this part right here, right now. We do not have Ted Starkey on the show this week due to the passing of Mike Bossy. Ted's workload got a lot more extensive because we were supposed to do the interview yesterday, Saturday. But obviously things came up. We do plan on having Starkey on the show next week, where we will be chatting Caps, Isles, and so much more as we get ready for the end of the regular season and get ready for the postseason. And we're also going to talk a lot about history because Ted Starkey is a great historian when it comes to the Capitals. So, yeah. So, Ethan. Good sir.
Yes.
Since you said that you don't have a lot to talk about regarding the Rangers, and I have a lot to talk about regarding the Capitals, let's start with the Rangers.
Sure.
And why not? Let's go to the Caps. So April 12th, the New York Rangers took on the Carolina Hurricanes. After a scoreless first period, Keandre Miller would open the scoring for the Rangers, but Andrei Svechnikov would tie the game at one for the Canes. Then in the third period, Seth Jarvis, Jordan Staal, and Sebastian Aho would score for the Canes, and Chris Kreider would score for the Rangers, which would be his 50th of the season, in the Hurricanes 4-2 victory over the Rangers, and would actually kind of keep Carolina in that first place position in the Metropolitan Division. Ethan, your thoughts on the Hurricanes-Rangers game?
I mean, I thought it was a fairly good game. I mean, it was, in fact, the only chance for the New York Rangers to obtain the first position in the Metropolitan Division, and we failed to do that. Vetrano continuously just demonstrates why he was a great pickup, and wow, I mean, the amount of shots that he's put on goal, since he's come to the Rangers has been phenomenal. He's aggressive. He's wicked fast with in terms of skating. He's got great puck control. He can be a little overly aggressive, but you know what? In this sport, that's perfectly fine. Keandre Miller just continuously demonstrates that he's probably the best all-around defenseman on the Rangers, that he has been looking and being inspired. And having Jacob Trouba mentoring him has paid off. Trouba is a bit more of an offensive defensive player versus, say, somebody like Keandre Miller, who's more defensive. And yeah, Keandre Miller does get the opportunity to score some goals, especially when you honestly, the Carolina defense didn't really seem to be there. They were relying more on Freddie Anderson as their defense. It's almost like it was looking like they were emulating the Rangers after the trade deadline, focusing more, or like right before the trade deadline, where they were using more Shesterkin as their primary defense versus now, where the Rangers are a bit more keeping the puck away from Shesterkin nearly as much, which has actually somewhat decreased some of the shots on goal percentage that Shesterkin has had to endure. Pretty much, Kreider, again, scoring his 50th. He's the fourth Ranger to do that in team history. It seems like he is looking to try and catch up with Jaromir Jagr. Freddie Anderson had a really good game. He was just on point. He gave up two, but that was, I mean, frankly, he just kept on blocking shot after shot after shot and made the Rangers continuously pay for it. The defense just, again, it seemed like they just became starting to become very mentally exhausted and brain foggy towards the end of the game. And to be frank, the fourth goal was an empty netter by Sebastian Aho. So, I mean, I'm not going to, be on them for that. It was an attempt to try and even it up, and they just couldn't do it. And Aho took advantage of the opportunity. So that was the Carolina Rangers game.
Yep. Moving on to the next night, April 13th, the Rangers would take on the looks over my shoulder, make sure my dad isn't like lurking over my shoulder when I say this part, the lowly Philadelphia Flyers.
Quite lowly.
In the first period, Kapo Kakko would net his sixth of the season to give the Rangers the 1-0 lead. Then going into the second period, Kakko would net his second of the game, followed by a goal from Artemi Panarin. And then in the third period, Andrew Kopp would score to give the Rangers the 4-0 victory over the Flyers, and Kopp's goal being a shorthanded tally.
Kopp's goal was an empty net.
Says here, shorthanded goal.
Well, I mean, I guess I'm reading, six I'm on reading, five is shorthanded, I guess.
I mean, I am reading directly off of the website. Off
and I just watched the recap of the game. It was an empty net. technically they were shorthanded, I guess.
I mean, you can blame the NHL on that one because that's what it says on their website. It does not say ENG, it says SHG.
Well, I mean,
Let me look at something.
Semantics are, it was technically shorthanded. I mean, it was 6-on-5. Why the Flyers needed to even pull their goalie down 3-0, I have no idea.
So interestingly, technically the Rangers were actually shorthanded because Adam Fox was in the box for slashing, and then both Travis Konecny and Barclay Goodrow had both gotten misconduct. So you might have been looking at a 6-on-4, not a 6-on-5.
Okay, so it was a shorthanded.
So it was empty a shorthanded. Netter. Yeah. So yeah, essentially, yeah, it was an empty netter, but it was a shorthanded goal because the Rangers were legitimately shorthanded because of an Adam Fox slashing penalty.
Well, anyway, but I mean, the thing is that Kopp has been doing some empty net goals for quite some time now while he's been on the Rangers. So that's an interesting bit. It was Kakko night. Kakko, this is the third game that he has been back since he came back from injury. He missed about 31 games. And one of our more prized Ranger pickups, I think he was actually drafted, was probably our first round. I think it was the first round pick back in 2019. He's been something of a project. Kakko has demonstrated that we missed him a great deal over the past 31 previous games before he came back during the Ottawa game. Two goals that night. I mean, sure, they were playing the Flyers, who are utterly decimated and who are pretty much in rebuild mode at this point. So, I mean,
No, don't say rebuild, because Dave Scott and Chuck Fletcher will tell you the Flyers are not rebuilding, they're retooling.
Oh, retooling. I'm sorry. Semantics. It's rebuild. Panarin just continuously demonstrates how much of a team player he is. Constant passing. He's very, very high in regards to assists, his assist numbers. And he just continuously, either he's assisting or he's scoring. Georgiev gets his second shutout of the season, and his actually, I think, fourth shutout of the season. Second shutout in since the Canes game, where we should not have won that game. Again, it's the Flyers. Philly was gashed and gutted, but the Rangers were just constantly in their face. The goalie just had no chance at all. He's played very little. The Philadelphia Flyers goalie played very little.
I think they played Sandstrom.
Yeah, they played Sandstrom. He had not played all that much this season at all.
No, he was primarily with Lehigh Valley in the AHL. So
they brought him up.
And there's a reason why Sandstrom played in that game against the Rangers, which we'll get to in a little bit, because it actually has a reason for when the Flyers actually played the Capitals.
But it just demonstrates how much the Rangers love to get up in your face when they want to score a goal. And that really demonstrates much of the Philadelphia versus New York Rangers game. Wasn't really anything particularly remarkable about it. The Broad Street Bullies were the Broad Street Bust right now. So, that's pretty much the game right there.
All right. And then on April 16th, to cap off the Rangers week, they would take on the Detroit Red Wings, where in the first period, Mika Zibanejad would score on the power play to give the Rangers the 1-0 lead. Then in the second period, Frank Vatrano would score to grow their lead to 2. And then in the third period, Alexis Lafreniere would score a pair of goals to give the Rangers their second straight 4-0 victory. This time over the Red Wings instead of the Flyers.
Before I mention anything, I've been letting you do this, and I shouldn't have, but this was revenge for the Jay Beagle incident. It's Alexis Lafreniere, not Lafreniere, Lafreniere. Okay. So yes,
whatever you say, when it comes to Jeff Beagle. Okay, no, I'm just kidding.
So this has been revenge for letting me say Jeff Beagle for an entire episode until you finally decided to just say, oh, by the way, it's Jay. So it's Alexis Lafreniere, not Lafreniere. But anyway, Patrick Nemeth came back for this game. We missed him on the defense. God. Oh, this was Lafreniere's night completely. 2 goals scored. Well, obviously, Mika Zibanejad with his normal beautiful one-timer during the power play. Frank Vatrano scored his 100th career goal during this game. The Red Wings are a better team. Grice played fairly well for being on the receiving end of 4 goals.
Did Thomas?
But I mean, it was he had no defense. I mean, it was all just him. I mean, it was really all him, and you could see he was trying his best, but just could not. He was being assaulted by all sides, by everybody.
Did Thomas Grice have a Jesus Christ moment in net where he made some holy saves?
I hate you.
You never heard that when you were with the Islanders?
I've heard it before. Yes, I have. And yes, he did make some particularly spectacular saves, especially one where it looked like it hit the post, but actually he shouldered it out of the way. They didn't lose because of him. Let's just say that it was just no defense. You can only do so much as a goalie.
He's a goalie that I wouldn't have minded if the Capitals tried to go after him at the trade deadline, because like I said, the Caps
as a backup really for Vanacek.
Not just necessarily as a back of the Vanacek, but somebody who can pressure Vanacek. Because Grice could steal a number one spot on the right team.
But what I wanted to actually touch upon was, believe it or not, Alexis Lafreniere. He scored 2 goals in this game. And if you saw, did you actually see the second goal he scored?
No.
Oh, my God.
You
need to watch that video, because what he does is he's getting close to the goal, he has defender right in front of him. He ducks his shoulder to make it look like he's about to score, deeks it through his legs, through his own legs, and then shoots and scores. He fakes him out completely.
Keep in mind that last night when the Rangers played the Red Wings was also Hockey Night in Canada. So, and a Caps game. So like I'm balancing between a Caps game and a Hockey Night in Canada. So I can
just watch that. That goal was fantastic. Lafreniere's puck control was almost
saint-like. Didn't he also get hurt last night? Because I thought I read something.
I don't think he did. Oh, I think somebody else did.
Yeah, because I saw that somebody on the Rangers got hurt last night, and they're concerned because they said it was a knee injury.
I'd have to look it up, but again, this is a win of the we've won five of the last six going into this next week, and this is shutout number five in the season. So you know what, I'll take it. I'll take it. But that second goal was an absolute masterpiece. Absolute masterpiece. Definitely, if somebody could do a recap of some of the most amazing goals from this season, or just amazing moments, that definitely has to be among them. That also Frank Vatrano scoring while also being utterly laid out at the same exact time, and actually getting a goal while he got blasted. I mean, blasted by. Oh, what was his name? Larson, I think. Yeah, I think it was Larson. Just laid out. Maybe it wasn't Larson. I think it was the captain of the Red Wings. I forgot who it was. But he was just utterly laid out while also simultaneously scoring a goal, which was pretty fantastic. Frank Vatrano, Chris Drury, by going after Vatrano, that was a beautiful move in terms of trade deadline. I hope we keep him. I really do. I hope we keep all of these guys. I mean, sure, Mott's out injured, and he might be for the foreseeable future. But all these pickups were so good, and they were so worth it. And with Sammy Blais coming back probably next year, and maybe being able to get a good backup. Frankly, I mean, look, Georgiev has had his moments. Georgiev has had good games, but I mean, he's not a get backup for the future. I mean, he's shown some seriously spectacular goaltending, especially against the Carolina Hurricanes, back when he literally was pretty much the entire defense and actually achieved a shutout while getting 41 shots against him. But frankly, I mean, with some better backup goaltending, maybe one or two more pieces, I think the Rangers could be a cup contender. Not this year. Definitely not this year. I don't see them making it. I mean, it would be nice, but I mean, I'm going to be realistic and not optimistic.
There's a lot more better teams than the Rangers.
Yeah, there's a lot better teams, but the Rangers are definitely their fourth youngest in the league. They need that. A lot of their players are still, they just need a little seasoning in the playoffs. I mean, I think one or two more years, this is a real cup contender team.
So before moving on to the Caps, as always, we are affiliated with Cool Hockey. Click on the link below the audio to head over to Cool Hockey, get your favorite team's jersey, along with maybe your favorite player, or do what I do and get it customized to yourself. So click the link below to go to Cool Hockey and get some awesome jerseys. Ethan just recently got his jersey. He wore it to the game that we went to at Madison Square Garden last Saturday against the Ottawa Senators.
It came earlier than it was projected. So you know what? It's worth it.
And it looked fantastic.
Utterly fantastic.
So moving on to the Capitals.
Yep.
On Sunday, April 10th, the Capitals would take on the Boston Bruins for the third straight time on network TV, as this game was on ABC. Caps were getting a lot of network television time. Or was this game on TNT? I can't remember. It was one of the two. But no, this was the TNT game, because the Caps-Penguins game on the Saturday when I went up to New York, that was on ABC. But after a scoreless first period, John Carlson would open up the scoring for the Capitals to take the 1-0 lead. But then Curtis Lazar and Eric Halla would score for the Bruins to take the 2-1 lead, but before the period would be over, Tom Wilson would strike for his 23rd of the season to tie the game at 2. And then in the third period, Lars Eller and Alex Ovechkin would both score to give the Capitals the 4-2 victory over the Boston Bruins. I will note, I did not watch this game because I was on a bus heading home from New York and then also going to pick up my Washington Nationals City Connect jersey from Dick's Sporting Goods because I needed to get my City Connect jersey because it is a fast seller. That is the only baseball talk you're probably going to get out of me this entire time on this show. But overall, it's a good victory for the Caps. They got their third straight victory, and ironically, third straight victory while on network television or on a network broadcast. John Carlson had a goal and an assist. Lars Eller also had a goal and an assist keep their hot streaks going. Tom Wilson is just setting career highs for himself this season with the Caps. And Alex Ovechkin netted his 45th of the season as he continued to climb the goal ranks and chases Gordie Howe and Wayne Gretzky, and is also trying to chase the history. He's also trying to chase history as he's trying to become the first player 36 years or older to hit 50 goals in a season. So that was Caps Boston. Then they would move on April 12th to take on the Philadelphia Flyers. This was the game that would take place before the Rangers took on the Flyers. And this one, great if you're a Caps fan, painful if you're a Flyers fan, and I'm just grateful I didn't get chucked out of a second-story window by my dad. But the Capitals would annihilate the Flyers. You think that the Rangers did a good job of doing it to the Flyers. The Capitals did the ultimate damage. As in the first period, Alex Ovechkin would net his 46th of the season, and TJ Oshie would score his 9th of the season to give the Caps a 2-0 lead. James Van Riemsdyk would score for the Flyers, but Martin Ferravari would score to regain the 2-goal lead for the Caps. Then in the second period, Lars Eller and Connor Sherry would score for the Capitals to grow to lead to 4. And then in the third period, Matt Irwin would score his first of the season and first as a Capital. Lars Eller would net his 2nd of the game. And then Garnet Hathaway would score along with Johan Larson, who would also score his first as a Washington Capital, and his being on the power play. And Van Riemsdyk would get his 2nd of the game late in the game on the power play for the Flyers, as the Capitals would destroy the Flyers 9-2. And it should be noted that there was a goaltending change made during this game for the Flyers after the first period that actually should have happened a lot earlier. And the reason you saw Sandstrom play against the Rangers is because Carter Hart actually got hurt in this game against the Capitals. And he actually looked, you know, it's kind of hard to pinpoint where he got hurt, but a lot of people are pointing at the Ovechkin goal, the very first goal of the game. And that's where Carter Hart got hurt. And it's something with the leg or the groin. And for whatever reason, the coaching staff kept him in the game for the rest of the first period instead of putting Martin Jones in, when you can clearly tell that Carter Hart was in discomfort with his leg. And then Martin Jones would obviously play the last two periods of the game. It's no secret that the Flyers are in flux right now. So this was I don't want to say it wasn't expected to happen.
But it was expected to happen.
But in a way, you kind of expected it to happen. Because, one, going up against a team like the Caps or the Rangers, this is a game you know that the Flyers are going to lose. But you don't see it being a 9-2 loss like the way it was. You see it being more like the, say, the 4-0 that you got with the Rangers game. So this game was kind of a little bit of a surprise, but at the same time, you know, it wasn't at the same time, if that makes any sense to anyone listening. So yeah, good domination by the Caps. penalty minutes was 28 for the Flyers and 16 for the Caps. The Caps were 1-for-4 in the power play. The Flyers were 1-for-2 on the power play. And then also note for this game, every Washington Capitals skater, not the goalie, I'm not including Ilya Samsonov on this, but every Capitals skater except for two got a point. The only two players to not get a point was Marcus Johansson and Nick Jensen. Ovechkin, Eller, Hathaway, Larson, Nick Dowd, Anthony Mantha, Connor Sherry, Evgeny Kuznetsov, Justin Schultz, and Matt Irwin are 10 of the players that had multiple points. So 10 players had multiple points. And 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, and 16 players had at least 1 point. That's crazy. You don't see that very often. So, but then moving on. But then moving on to the 14th, the karma would come back to bite the Caps in the butt. Let's just be honest here. As they would take on the Toronto Maple Leafs in the first game of their 5-game road trip. And I should note that the Flyer Cap game was also on ESPN. So the Caps went 4-0 on their 4-game stretch of network broadcast games.
And you faced the number one scorer in the league and the now leader for the Hart Trophy, Austin Matthews.
Yeah, which we'll get to him in a moment. In the first period, Michael Bunting and William Nylander would score to give the Leafs the 2-0 lead. Then in the second period, John Carlson would score his 15th of the season to get the Caps on the board. But then things would go oh so wrong for the Capitals, as 4-on-4 would not be their friend, as Ilya Lyubushkin, Nylander would net his second of the game, Ilya Mikheyev and Michael Bunting would score his second of the game, and they would just get 4 straight goals in about a 6-minute span.
You know, we call that a clinic, right?
Yes, yes. And that would be a 6-1 lead for the Leafs. Tom Wilson would net his 24th of the season in the final minute of the second period for the Caps to make it 6-2. But then in the third period, Mikheyev would net his second of the game and Nick Dowd would score for the Caps.
Do you have a bird in your house?
No, it's the bird outside my house. My window's open. But but the Caps would fall 7-3 to the Toronto Maple Leafs. In this game, Austin Matthews would record 2 assists to get his 100th point of the season. As literally as the headline puts it on NHL.com, Maple Leafs cruise past Capitals. Fact.
That's actually putting it lightly.
Yeah. The Caps did not show up this game. I don't know if they're still like feeling super good about their victory over Philadelphia or anything, which they shouldn't have, but it definitely hurt the Caps a little bit because, you know, and we'll talk about it in a moment when it comes to playoff clinching scenarios. But if the Capitals had actually, you know, played a lot better and potentially maybe have beaten Toronto, then this could have been a case of where the Caps could have clinched yesterday and not have to rely on the New York Islanders to lose to, of all teams, the Toronto Maple Leafs to get the Capitals the final playoff berth for the Eastern Conference.
Well, let's face it, they're going to clinch because it's the Islanders and they're facing the Maple Leafs. So yeah. God help the Islanders right now.
But we'll discuss that a little bit more later on. And then yesterday, the Capitals would take on the Canadiens as they do the second game of their 5-game road trip. Nick Dowd would open the scoring for the Caps in the first period. They take the 1-0 lead. Then going into the second period, Jake Evans would score for the Canadiens, but Anthony Mantha would respond with back-to-back goals in 34 seconds, to give the Capitals the 3-1 lead. Ryan Poehling would score for the Canadiens, and then Alex Ovechkin would net his 47th of the season as the Caps would take a 4-2 lead. Then in the third period, Poehling would net his second of the game, and Nick Suzuki would score his 20th of the season for the Canadiens. But Garnet Hathaway, Dmitry Orlov, Justin Schultz, and TJ Oshie would all score with Schultz and Oshie on the power play to give the Capitals a demanding 8-4 victory over the Montreal Canadiens, and now putting them only 2 points away. The magic number is 2 to clinch the final playoff berth in the Eastern Conference. And then actually we're going to do this real quick because we need to go over the upcoming week for both teams.
Sure, I can start.
Real quick, let me pull up the Rangers.
I already have the Rangers schedule, by the way.
I know you do, but I need it in front of me, good sir. In what is now the second to last week of the NHL season, the Rangers take on Winnipeg.
Winnipeg at home on Tuesday. They will take on the Islanders at UBS Arena on Thursday. And then they will head up to Boston to play at the Garden on Saturday. And then they're going to be home for the rest of the regular season, with which their last game will be against the Washington Capitals.
Yeah, well, we're not worried about that week yet. We're only worried about this week.
Oh, I know we're worried about this week, but I just had to mention that.
I know, but still, it's irrelevant to the conversation because it has nothing to do with this upcoming week.
Yeah, we know.
But what this week does for you guys is that you're playing a weird Winnipeg Jets team that, you know, of all times to not know what your identity is, they're not knowing what identity they are. You know, for a team that you would think that would be in the playoff picture and looking at the standings, you know,
they should be,
but with the team that they have, but they're not. I think they're not that far away from actually being eliminated from playoff contention for the Jets. I think mathematically they technically are, but they just haven't officially announced them as eliminated. Then you go up against the Islanders, which is, you know, a must win, but we said that before, and then they lost 3-0.
I mean, it's we would like them to win. It's not a must win. I mean, sure, it's a rivalry. We would like them to win, but it's not exactly a must win. The Rangers already have a playoff spot.
No.
It's not exactly a...
But the thing is, though, is that the reason I say it's a must win is because you're still battling with Carolina, because when the Rangers won yesterday and Carolina losing to Colorado, you became tied for first place in the Metropolitan Division. So that's why you kind of say it's a must win when you go up against the Islanders, because depending on how Carolina does, this can jump you guys into the first place of the division.
I'm going to tell you why it's not a must-win. I'm going to tell you why very soon. The issue is that we still have 2 weeks to go. And Carolina, by all intents and purposes, still has plenty of time to stay ahead. Yes, they lost against the Avalanche, but let's face it, the probability of the Rangers obtaining the first place position in the Metropolitan and keeping it through the Capitals game next week is low. It's so very low.
Here's the thing. I'm looking
it's at going to be a tough. It's going to be so tough.
I'm going to put
I mean,
this
it's
out
a must there. Win, I guess, but it's going to be too tough. I would say, I honestly would say just try to win, but don't blow yourself out of proportion and don't exhaust yourself trying to get the first place in the Metro.
So here's the thing. Carolina and the Rangers both have played 76 games. So there's no games in hand on either team.
Right.
They both have 104 points. The only reason Carolina is in first place right now is the regulation wins. Because they have one more regulation win than the Rangers do. Now, looking at Carolina's schedule compared to the Rangers' schedule, the Rangers, both teams have obviously 6 games left. This week, the Rangers have Winnipeg, the Islanders, and Boston. Carolina has Arizona, Winnipeg, and New Jersey.
Yeah, I mean, let's say so, it's At least three playoff teams have been
talking to your microphone.
I am talking to the microphone.
You sound distance, like you're not at your desk.
Sorry, we're playing at least three playoff teams while Carolina's playing the Devils?
Yeah, but
come on, man. Let's be realistic.
But the thing is, though, is that, like, first off, Arizona's out and they can play spoiler. New Jersey's out. They can play.
Do you really think that the Arizona Coyotes are going to play spoiler against the Hurricanes? The Hurricanes would have to drop dead.
But anyways,
they'd have to remove their entire team and put their minor league team in their jerseys to lose against the Coyotes.
But then anyways, looking at it, like, but here's the thing. Would you prefer to have first place and take on a wild card team like Boston or Washington? Or would you rather be playing the Pittsburgh Penguins?
Let me be very
honest. Or maybe the Washington Capitals, depending on how the Penguins and the Capitals are doing.
I don't want to play the Capitals. I'll tell you why. I will tell you why. Because I've noticed this over the span of how many times the Rangers have been in the playoffs. Almost every time they play the Caps in the playoffs, we beat you in seven and then lose the next series. Never fails. Never fails to happen. I don't think it hasn't happened.
So just to throw this out there, Pittsburgh has five games left and they only have two games this week. They play Boston at home and then they play Detroit on the road. And then the next week they play Philadelphia on the road and then close off the season at home again with games against Edmonton and Columbus. So
who is this, Boston?
This is Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh.
Like, and the reason I bring up Pittsburgh is because this could determine who, if you are content with second place in the conference or in the division, depending on how Pittsburgh does against Boston, which they lost yesterday to Boston. So how are they going to respond against Boston in this next match? Detroit could be a win automatically for Pittsburgh. Philly should be a win for Pittsburgh. Edmonton could be a toss-up, and Columbus could be a toss-up for Pittsburgh. So there's still even a good chance that if you get second place, you could still be playing the Washington Capitals in the first round. Because
I would rather play Pittsburgh.
Because the Capitals this week, I'm not going to go in the next week, but this week alone, the Capitals have a very challenging schedule. It's the last three games of this five-game road trip, starting Monday in Colorado, Wednesday in Vegas, and Friday in Arizona. Now, Arizona should probably be a win for the Caps.
That should be a clinic for the Caps.
Well, we say that, but the Capitals won like 2-0 earlier in the season against them. So it's like, was it 2-0? Hold on,
I feel bad for Charles Barkley.
Let's see here. Because I know it was the week of dirt. Yeah, they won 2-0 over Arizona back in October. And I remember that because that was when I was up in Jersey for DerbyCon. But Colorado, red hot. They beat Carolina last night 7-4.
Yeah, I mean, it's Colorado. They're the best team also, in the league. They're the best also, team in the NHL right now.
Also, to clinch the division. They're the only team in the league to have clinched the division, which is hilarious knowing that Florida is at 112 points.
And still hasn't clinched.
Jesus, how is that possible? But it's also funny because the Capitals are very close to clinching the last playoff spot in the East, and you still have five playoff spots left in the West that need to be clinched. So that just kind of tells you where we are with the two conferences. But yeah, so if Pittsburgh, they got Boston, Detroit, Philly, Edmonton, Columbus, there's a good chance they could fall into the wild card and out of third place. There's a very good chance of it. Carolina, you got Arizona, Winnipeg, New Jersey, the Islanders, the Rangers, and the Devils again, close off their season. So it's like two, three, four, five of those games they should win. So there's a good chance that they're probably going to keep first place in the division. Game against the Rangers is obviously the toss-up game. And then, but this week, you guys got Winnipeg, the Islanders, and the Bruins. It's kind of nice finishing your season off at home.
Yeah, it is kind of nice.
Yeah.
But consider this, though. Consider this. How monstrous do the Avalanche have to be better and be the first team that's better than the Bills? Better than the Bills. Oh, my God. Better than the Blues. And the Blues are ridiculous. They're ridiculous. You've seen that defense.
Yeah. I'm just going to throw this out there. Since I have started taking that video editing class at Montgomery College, my class is Monday nights, and the Capitals have yet to win a game on a Monday night since I started the class back in January. So good luck, Capitals against Colorado. you're probably going to lose.
Jesus.
And then we get Vegas at 10 o'clock at night. And then why? Why on a Friday night is the game at 10:30 at night against Arizona?
Because it's in Arizona.
But Arizona never does 10:30 games.
Well, Arizona, it's 7:30 there.
Yeah, but they never do 7:30 games their time. They always do 7 o'clock games their time. The only teams who ever do 10:30 games is San Jose and Los Angeles. They're the only two teams who do 7:30 p.m.
Because they're playing the Capitals.
It's like, ugh. I mean, luckily it's a Friday night, so I don't have to worry about work the next day.
It's also Friday night.
But like, they never do 10:30 games for Arizona. Why are you going to abuse us East Coasters like that? Like, if it's like a Western Conference opponent, sure, go for it. I don't care. Eastern Conference opponent, don't be cruel like that.
But anyway, look. But
yeah.
It'd be nice if we got first place. I'm not holding my breath at all.
So let's look at playoff scenarios. In the Eastern Conference, obviously, we've already talked about it. You know, Carolina, the Rangers, Pittsburgh, Florida, Toronto, Tampa, and Boston, they've all clinched. The Capitals just need some help from the Toronto Maple Leafs tonight. If the Maple Leafs beat the Islanders in regulation, the Capitals will clinch the eighth and final playoff spot in the Eastern Conference, thus eliminating everyone else that hasn't been eliminated yet from playoff contention. Although realistically, there's no real way the Islanders were going to catch the Capitals anyways. That was just the pipe dream. So with that, you know, the Caps just need the help from the Maple Leafs to beat the Islanders, and the Cap. And again, it has to be in regulation; can't go to overtime. And the Capitals will clinch that spot in the Western Conference, at least for today on Sunday. The Minnesota Wild need to get a point against San Jose to clinch the third spot in the Central Division, and if they go to overtime, they clinch. If they win in regulation, they clinch. So it's just 1 point for Minnesota to clinch the spot.
Is it me, or is the Western Conference a conference of extremes? Like, you either have teams that really suck or teams that are really good.
Yeah, and it's funny too, because yesterday when the Oilers won their game, the Calgary Flames clinched their playoff spot. And of all teams to help a team clinch a playoff spot, Edmonton Oilers helping the Calgary Flames.
That's rough.
Which, I'm not going to lie, I really hope both teams move on to the second round, because I would love me some Battle of Alberta in the playoffs.
Oh, that would be so charged.
I would love me some Battle of Alberta. And not only that, but St. Louis, Minnesota is going to be really good too. Mm-hmm. In the first round, because like, if you saw their game from I believe Friday night, like, that was a wild, and a pun intended, a wild one. Like, the Blues were up like 5-1 or something like that, and the Wild like erased a 5-goal deficit or something like that to force overtime in the third period, and then only to lose to the Blues in overtime. So it's like, that could be a very fun series as well when you look at, you know, the Western Conference. I mean, so it, you got, so like we're already starting to see certain series kind of pan out. Minnesota, St. Louis, it looks like it's going to be Edmonton, Los Angeles, depending on how things go over there. You're looking at a Rangers, Penguins, Rangers, Capitals series.
Oh, God.
Depending on how things pan out these last 2 weeks. Because something to note, the Penguins are 3-6-1 in their last 10 games. And they're on a one-game losing streak. The Capitals...
Wouldn't exactly call a one-game
losing
streak.
I know.
It's a streak.
It's just how they put it on here.
I know, I figured.
The Capitals are 7-3-0.
Mm-hmm.
And they won their most recent one after dropping one to Toronto. So you look at that. So Penguins are 3-6-1. Caps are 7-3-0 in their last 10 games, respectively.
Both the Capitals and the Rangers right now are red hot. So
yeah, the Rangers are 7-2-1 in their last 10. Carolina is 4-5-1 in their last 10. Another team to keep an eye on is obviously Boston. They're 5-5 in their last 10. So it's just those little things to kind of keep an eye on. I mean, Florida's 9-1-0 in their last 10. They're on a 9-game winning streak.
Face off the Rangers and then get walloped.
Colorado's on a 9-0-1 win in their last 10. St. Louis is 9-0-1 in their last 10. And they're on 9 and 8 game win streaks, respectively, for those two teams.
I don't think the Panthers have beaten the Rangers this season at all. I think they got swept.
Let's take a look. Going to this schedule.
I think it was a sweep. I'd be wrong. I mean,
taking a look right now. Let's see here. It didn't play them in March. Rangers won in February, 5-2. Florida won in December, 4-3.
Okay.
And Rangers won in November, 4-3.
Yeah, so okay. They're 2-1.
Yeah. So the Rangers
are sweep.
2-1 for the season series against Florida.
Floridia. Okay.
But yeah, so like, and then Calgary 6-3-1. Edmonton's 8-1-1 with a 2-game winning streak, you know, to in their last 10 as well. So it's like you got a lot going on. And then really for the wild card side of things, you got Nashville, Dallas, and Vegas. Vancouver, they're still in it, but I don't really see them in it, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, makes perfect sense.
But I mean, they do have a shot, because looking at that, Nashville is 6-3-1 in their last 10. Dallas is 6-2-2 in their last 10. Vegas is 7-2-1 in their last 10. And Vancouver 6-2-2 in their last 10. Of the four teams, Nashville, Dallas just won their first one for their streak. Recently, Vegas lost their last game. Vancouver's on a 5-game winning streak. So, but they also just lost Bo Horvat, and he could be out for the rest of the regular season. And if they don't have Bo Horvat, they just lost to crucial players in the lineup. So, it's definitely those things to take a look at right there. So, yeah. So with that, we've talked ad nauseum about that stuff. I still love this tweet by the Edmonton Oilers saying you're welcome with the Larry David gif.
That's great.
A disappointment when they realized that they helped the Calgary Flames clinch their playoff spot. That was great. So yeah, we got about a few minutes left in the show, so we'll talk about Mike Bossy, who passed away on Friday. Again, that is the reason why we did not have Ted Starkey on the show today, because of the passing of Mike Bossy, which also came on a week that we lost Gilbert Gottfried.
Yeah.
So
2022 stacking up to be one heck of a year, though, isn't it?
Well, I mean, here's the thing, and I've said this before and I'll say this again. like, I don't look at it from that perspective. I look at the age and go, okay, you know, they lived a very fruitful life. So, you know, it is what it is. I'm not going to get like all bent out of shape about it. So, okay.
Yeah, it's totally.
Remember, I've literally been watching like George Carlin DVDs because, yeah, he's been gone for a while now, but like you can still go back and watch his stuff and enjoy it, you know? And that's the thing that you can do with Mike Bossy. You can watch highlights of him if you're a fan of his or the Islanders. And then, yeah. Any thoughts, Ethan?
It's a loss. I mean, Mike Bossy was a great player. I mean, he was, in a sense, he seemed like he was taken out at his, you know, in his stride. I mean, he was 65, sure. But I mean, he was a crucial part of that Islanders almost dynasty that they had in the 70s. I'm really trying to be kind and understanding in this matter, because I'm being a Rangers fan, not very fond of the 70s, as that was the time, that was the age of the Flyers and the Islanders.
Well, the Islanders' age was really the early 80s.
The late 70s, early 80s. Yeah. They won quite a bit in the 70s. They won in the 70s and early 80s. And frankly, it wasn't exactly a very good time for the Rangers at the time. So I'm not going to say much more. I mean, it was a loss. The hockey world lost a star today. And I mean, not today, yesterday. I mean, so it's a big loss. I'm not going to say anything further because, you know, being a Rangers fan, I don't really have much else to say. But yeah, it's a big loss.
So this just came out just now. NHL Player Safety has announced that tomorrow on Monday, Montreal's Michael Bezetta will have a hearing for an illegal check to the head on Washington's TJ Oshie from last night's game.
Speaking of injuries, by the way, when talking about the injury during the Detroit game, it was not Alexei Lafreniere. It was Kaapo Kakko who got injured. He's day to day.
Yeah.
We get him back.
And then also just throwing this out there, Ted Starkey just put out an article this morning at the time of when we were recording this, because 35 years ago, the Capitals and the Islanders played the Game 7 that seemingly would never end. I'm using exactly what he says in his Twitter for pushing it. It was one of the greatest games ever played. Thanks again. He's thanking again Michael Fornes and Al Koken for retelling the 6+ hour tale of the Capitals Islanders Easter epic from 1987 in the playoffs. So, he just put that article out. We've already shared it up on the TXHT Twitter. We'll have it in our daily that will come out tomorrow morning as well. Some good stuff there from Ted Starkey, who we are looking forward to having on the show next week after the sudden rescheduling that we had to do, and very understandable reasoning for it as well.
Absolutely.
So with that, we all know to not find Ethan anywhere on social media.
Yep.
So we're not even going to go there.
Yep. Even though you usually attach me on Twitter, you usually
I will always
have me on there anyway.
I will always tag Ethan on Twitter anyways. So you can still harass him.
Of which one has, thankfully.
But you can follow me on Twitter at @thelindenbaum75, Facebook at facebook.com/TXHTHockey, Twitch at twitch.tv/TheMichaelX75. You will be seeing me on there soon, streaming stuff, mostly Among Us right away, because I'm going to be working on my final class project, and that is going to be the focus of my video editing class project. If the professor approves it, which I think he will, I'm hoping, please, professor, approve it. So that'll be on twitch.tv/MichaelX75. You can possibly join in on the fun on that one just by watching. So stay tuned. And then, of course, everything is on the website at txhthockey.com. The show's Twitter is @TXHT_hockey. And of course, randomly somehow the show made its way on the Google podcast, and we don't know how. So go on the Google podcast and type in TXHT or the Experience Hockey Talk, and you will find the podcast on there on Google Podcast.
Honestly, I'm not complaining.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I know how it got on there, but we don't know how it actually got on there, because pulling the curtain back a little bit. So Voices from the Grid, the Power Ranger podcast that I do, my co-host wanted it on Spotify and Google Podcasts and iTunes. We don't have it on iTunes yet, but we do have it on Spotify. Spotify went up perfectly fine, and it just has all the Voices from the Grid episodes. But when it got put on to... But when it got put on the Google podcast, it did the thing for Voices from the Grid, but then it created a second thing that does everything that goes up on the TXHT website. So Awesome Mania, Nerdy Notions, TXHT, all of it somehow got its own separate channel going onto Google Podcast.
This was all born from a Power Rangers podcast.
It was all because of a Power Rangers podcast.
A Power Rangers podcast.
Yes.
Okay, I think we're done.
but anyways, so that's how we ended up on Google Podcasts. So if you do that, go on there. No, I'm not going to put the show on Spotify. I don't want to deal with the hassle of trying to get it on there. Or iTunes. iTunes sucks anyways. But then, as always, we are an affiliate of Cool Hockey. Click the link below to go to Cool Hockey and get the jersey of your favorite team and players. They've done mystery boxes, which are amazing. You don't know what's coming in the box, but you just know that you are guaranteed a jersey through disappointment or through satisfaction. I know that for a fact, because I've gotten jerseys that I was going like, ugh, why? But then I was able to trade them with fellow Cool Hockey fans and get the jerseys that I've wanted to build up my collection. And like I said, Ethan recently got a Rangers jersey from Cool Hockey, and it looked fantastic. And I have a closet full of Cool Hockey jerseys, which are amazing. So
a custom Henrik Lundqvist jersey that I was able to get customized completely because, well, they don't sell Henrik Lundqvist jerseys anymore. So, you know,
click the link below and go get that jersey that you always wanted. And remember, as an affiliate of Cool Hockey, if you click the link, you do a purchase, we get a small portion of that order, which helps us do maintenance for website, you know, and all the other things that we do to make TXHT and all the other stuff that X75 Productions do possible to get it out to all of you. So with that said, until next time, next week, same bat time, same bat channel with Ted Starkey, we will see you on the ice.
Stay classy, San Diego.